Welcome to our service at the Vines Uniting Church of Woodcroft, to everyone who's here this morning, and to those of you who are watching online. Psalm 90, the first two verses, tell us this about God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. That's a lot of generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I love that phrase, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is always God, always has been, and always will be. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you that you are the God from everlasting to everlasting. And Lord, as we gather here today on this beautiful day, may we truly engage with you, reach out to you, cry out to you, take hold of you as you take hold of us, and be willing to open our hearts and minds and ears and eyes today to hear you more and more. So we give you thanks and all praise. Abba, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
The sky, not the grave, is ours. blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul is found with my soul. It is well.
Just a little moment of silence. Just think about the words we've just been singing. And think about the wellness of your own soul. And if there's anything that's challenging you at the moment, just lift it before God in the silence.
Please be seated. Just see if I can drop that level a little bit. I'm booming. Hey, look, great to see you again today. And one of the reasons we're using Psalms on a regular basis during this season is because Psalms have a great way of covering our experience of life, the good, the bad, the ugly, from a position of faith. It's I love the way it affirms truth of their experience and faith. And because what I keep reminding you is our experience and faith have to mesh together. So join with me in this responsive psalm, Psalm number 4, which is a bit different from what you've got, Adrian. Answer me when I pray, O God, my defender. He's in trouble. You help me. Be kind to me now and hear my... God says, how long will you people insult me? How long will you love what is worthless and go after what is false? Remember that the Lord has chosen the righteousness for his own, and he hears me when I call to him. Tremble with fear and stop sinning. Think deeply about this when you lie in silence on your beds. Offer the right sacrifices to the Lord and put your trust in him. There are many who pray, give us more blessings, O Lord. Look on us with kindness. But the joy that you've given me is more than they will ever have with all their grain and wine. When I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. You alone, O Lord, keep me perfectly safe. I invite you to share with a prayer. Lots of different images there, Lord, as we reflect on this reading from almost 3,000 years ago, as people endeavored to live out their faith in what were really hard times also. And Lord, we come to this Sunday after another week. At times it does feel like we've been in a battle, fighting our way to Sunday when we can reset. Lots of things have happened. Hard things, funny things, stupid things, just grinding everyday things. We know whether we're here in person, whether we are online, watching or listening. All of us are confronted with challenges and difficulties, maybe even conflict. Maybe the anxiety about the future continues to stir within us. We look around with the uncertainty in the world, in Europe, and we think of America and all the other uncertainty and fear. And we know that many seek to get rid of their pain through using other means, alcohol, drugs, whatever it might be. Lord, as we come to this point in our Sunday and we ask that we may reset, that we may let go of those things that have been grinding our bones this week, we know that your promise is that you are with us and that as we lie in our beds, your peace continues to be offered to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now that wasn't really a prayer of confession, but one of the things we affirm is that God's love never leaves us, regardless of what happens. And so as we continue in that journey together, it's just something that we affirm. Thanks, Leon.
Good morning. As we're continuing, the reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. The whole armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was going to say, you've done a good job with your seats today. And next week, we'll try not to change it up too much. So we're getting a habit. Good to see you, Sam. It's time for our children's talk. And kids online too. Good to see them. We can't see them through there, Sam. It's really small, isn't it? But maybe they're there. Hey, today we're talking about putting on shoes of peace.
That's just why I already know it. That's why I had peace.
You've got some peaceful shoes on. Well, good. I'm going to show you some of mine and we'll do a bit of a work through. All right. Now, shoes, can you tell me when you would wear a shoe like this? I personally wouldn't wear a shoe like this. That clashes with my eyes. All right, something fashion dashing. Women, yes, very nice. All right. What about this clunker? Footy sport, yeah. All right. What are they? Oh, they're like Crocs. Let's have a look. Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. Same sort of thing, yes. All right, what about one of these big clunkers? Look at that big hoofah. You want to try that one on?
Well, that one would be for going in the mud.
Going in the mud? Going in the army? Do you want to try it on? You sure? Let's have a look at your size shoe again and this one. So, do you think your foot would fit into that? I think it probably would. Would it be very comfortable? No, I don't think it would be. All right, so that's your army boot, my army boot. Got a few others. The old, this is a Chinese working boot. Oh, the thong. Okay, what sort of boot's that?
Oh, wow. That would probably be one that you would go everywhere.
Hiking, yeah, everywhere, outdoor, very, yep, I agree. And this is just a, grungy old slip-on one. So one of the things about our theme, I've got a lot more shoes. I could have bought another 3 bags full of shoes. One of the things we're talking about is putting on shoes of peace, putting on shoes of love. How do we put on God's shoe of love? That's interesting, isn't it? And that's part of what we're going to talk a bit about today, but so it's like we have all this wonderful love that God gives us, and if we just leave it over there and never put it on to ourselves, how do we experience it? And it's no good, well, it's no good trying to put that big clunker on. Doesn't really fit. So we have God's love fits us, and so it's finding the right fit and how that works in our lives. So, you know, if I could ask you 5 questions and find out what you've just understood, I'd be really impressed if you got something that God loves you and you've got to put it on. I'd be happy with that outcome, Sam. What do you think? Huh?
The shoes of peace.
The shoes of peace, yes. All right. Let me say a prayer. Good boy. Lord Jesus, we thank you for faith. We thank you for life. We thank you that at any age you're wanting to connect us with your love. We pray for Sam and all the kids who are not here today and those online and those beyond these walls, that somehow they may have a chance to experience your love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so welcome to you all. Thanks, Sam. You want to go and jump back on your table? And I've got to think what I'm doing next. I always distract myself. I think this is where we do the notices and welcome. So we've done the chairs. I need to let you know that Christmas market is coming. Now, the Christmas market is not the strawberry fair. So everybody go, Okay, so we haven't got a frantic rush where we're doing 50 hours a week trying to set it up. It's meant to be low key. We've got some stalls outside, and it's just the invitation is for people to, in the community, for it to be a blessing. So there's been people who've been asked to be involved. Yeah, please do. We're not trying to raise money. We're trying to cover costs, but the aim is that this year, instead of Strawberry Fair, we're going to have a love offering. So if you want to give some money towards the work of the church and that sort of stuff, there's some nice strawberry, the envelopes with a strawberry on them, or some other creative thing that Judy's done. So look for either a squishy envelope that's just got juice running everywhere, or it might just have a strawberry picture on it. I'm not sure which. But anyway, so you can give a love offering this year instead of the Strawberry Fair. That's fine. If you'd like to be involved in the Christmas market, which is a blessing to the community, you can be involved in that. Again, it's like, it's not meant to stress us out and burn us out, all right? So that's the idea. Are you with me? Now, we've got some other things. We've somehow got to do a congregational meeting some stage before the end of the year, so we'll try and figure that out. And we also need a treasurer for next year, and there'll be a few other opportunities for next year as well. So look out for the grape or grapevine. We'll advertise this stuff too. So thanks for those who've been praying for my mum. She's came through the operation really well. I'll see her today, so that's good. Anything else I've forgotten? Any other notices I should be sharing? My book's over there. I'm here. Always a dangerous thing. Are we going to have our prayers of intercession? Because we need them. Or I need them. Georgette, thanks very much.
Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be back. I was reminded recently, as I was praying with my grandchildren and Rob, that the early church always prayed in their homes. As public worship has been restricted for many of us, we've retreated back to that domestic church. But always aware, I hope, of Jesus' promise in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. However, I do feel privileged to lead my church family in prayer this morning. Will you please join me? Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray for our world, remembering that it's your world that is struggling with COVID-19. In Australia, we have been so blessed for good leadership, wonderful medical facilities, but still many in our country grieve for the loss of loved ones. Many struggle with the sometimes debilitating effects post-COVID. Many people here and around the world are suffering from financial hardship due to job losses. Lord, we pray for our country and everyone affected. Lord, we pray for those in countries that do not even have basic medical care, and loss of income can mean no food or shelter. Dear Lord, we pray for those affected by border closures here and overseas, who may not have seen or hugged loved ones this year. May COVID remind us to open our hearts to family and friends and all in need in the global community through prayer and practical support. My dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the church all over the world that your love and care will shine through. Many, many are still facing fear and anxiety and despair. May this crisis help all turn to you, trust in the Lord, and remember your great love for all his people. Help everyone, Lord, to raise their eyes towards heaven rather than downward in fear. My dear Lord, we pray for David and his family and all those in this church that support his ministry. Thank you from me for the online worship, and I know there's thanks from many. We pray for those who are yet to return to worship. May they always be aware of your loving presence and warmly welcome back. I invite you in a time of silence to offer your prayers to God, the prayers of your heart for people, for situations that you know about. We don't need to know, but God does. I asked you to pray with confidence that God always hears our prayers and answers them. But help us, Lord, to accept his answers, even when it's not what we want or understand. Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts ache for so many people and situations. Help us to have hearts full of gratitude for all you've done for us and continue to do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us sing a song now that's reflective of the reading of the armour of God. So the first phrase of the song, the first verse is, O church, arise. O church, will you arise, please?
So the armour of God, I've really enjoyed the series so far, and we continue further on today, picking up our third of a five-part series. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we pause and consider this new image, this new metaphor, this new invitation you give us, we continue to pray that we may wrestle with what this means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, am I too loud still? Hands up if I'm too loud, or am I doing okay? All right, good. So, the armor of God. It's an interesting series. Now, last week we First week we talked about the belt of truth. And then last week we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, which we talked about as being no condemnation. And we figured out that the belt tied in with the breastplate, and the two were connected. You need the truth that on that day to stand firm, we are reminded that there is no condemnation. That's a powerful word of encouragement to us. And today, we are picking up the images of the shoes. Now, this picture of the Roman soldier, we've already looked at the breastplate and the belt or the kilt. And you can't really see, but the sandals, the Romans had these, you know, studded sandals which they wore, were very robust. And you could just wear them anywhere. And we all know that shoes are important, don't we? How many can remember Imelda Marcos? I remember the 60 Minutes did a film crew through the palace, and there was just room after room, thousands of shoes, thousands of pairs of shoes. And she just didn't see anything wrong with that. And she happily went through and just showed off this thousands and thousands of, some shoes were worth $1,000. The problem was she was in the Philippines, and a lot of people just couldn't afford shoes. So there was this massive disconnect. But shoes are a wonderful thing. They can be a, you can power dress with your shoes, can't you? And I've seen women with stiletto heels, you know, massive things, power dressing with their heels, sensational. And I guess if I'm honest, I've probably got quite a few pairs of shoes. But let's you be honest. How many people here have more than 10 sets of shoes at home? How many people have more than 20 sets of shoes at home? And for those looking at home, look, these people are being very modest, but I think most of them have got lots of shoes. But alright, so shoes are significant things we wear on our feet for a whole pile of reasons. And historically, lots of money has been invested in shoes as fashion statements. I'm not sure if you've ever seen a military parade, but you'll notice that the boots are sparkling shiny. And in Townsville in 2010, there was a great, it was really quite comical, but for the army it was a great sense of embarrassment. Because as the parade of soldiers went past, there was a sea of shoe soles throughout the whole thing as the soles and the glue became unhitched. And soldiers ended up walking in their bare feet as all their shoe soles came off. So sometimes buying shoes from China is not the smartest idea. Now if you watch a parade with the army, they've all got Aaron Williams. Hey, no soles coming off of them. But it's, you know, like shoes, they're really significant. What I found really interesting about this invitation Paul gives us is he talks about, as shoes, put on whatever. I really found that an interesting thing for him to say. Like, you know, if you have that picture of the Roman soldier, there are specific boots that go with that uniform. You don't get a choice. Paul is saying, hey, put on whatever. Which really has some very interesting images, doesn't it? You know, could you imagine full body armor, helmet, shield with your bunny slippers? Or your Ugg boots? Or your gardening boots? I was going to bring those, but I sort of had to hold them up over here and I was like, there's only so much perfume I can spray on those things. High heels with armor? I'm not sure that really goes, girls. Interesting. So what is Paul talking about when he says, put on whatever? I really like that. So let's do a bit of a fact check. So these are four different translations with the same verse, and it picks out variations. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the good news of peace. The New International Version. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from a gospel of peace, message, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. It's an interesting trend. Good news. And as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. So, put on whatever readiness, apply peace, announce the good news. So, if I'd done better at Greek, I'd give you a Greek translation. But sadly, I didn't do that well at Greek. And a number of years ago, I gave my entire library away to the Papua New Guinea Library, or Vanuatu, because I didn't think I'd actually be coming back as a minister of the word in a church. So there you go. There's a confession, isn't it? Amazing what God does and stirs things. So if you've got a spare Greek lexicon hanging around, let me know. Anyway, I'm distracting myself. One of the things that comes across strongly for this reading is Paul gives us a choice about what we put on our feet for peace. Now, poor old Sam was never going to stick my boots on, was he? They were never going to fit. In fact, one of the strangest experiences I've ever had in a class, I was doing CPE, and they said, right, now I want you to swap over and wear someone else's shoes. Have you ever worn someone else's shoes? It's very uncomfortable. Because the first thing you think is, do my shoes smell? And do their shoes smell? Or, it's just an uncomfortable thing, putting on someone else's shoes. So Paul's saying, hey, if you're going to put on this peace, if you're going to put on the good news, it's got to fit. You've got to wear them. It's like new shoes. You have to break them in, don't you? It's no good suddenly thinking, oh, I better proclaim the good news. Where are my shoes again? What ones are they? There's a sense in which we have to be wearing these shoes for them to be effective in our lives. Finding shoes that fit. And I guess sometimes the question is, well, what sort of shoes do we need? We figured out that high heels and fluffy bunny slippers don't really work as something that we need to wear if we're going to have a robust environment. So if life is robust, then the shoes we wear need to be able to handle that, don't they? So if we're invited to put on the peace, the gospel of peace, the gospel of love, we've got to put on this love and this God, and it needs to be robust. But what is the nature of this good news of peace? Probably don't need to go to that slide online just yet. So if you're looking online, you've seen that slide, wait. I got a little ahead of myself. One of the scripture readings that you all know, which is fundamental to our journey in faith, is this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What is the nature of the good news of peace? What is it that Paul is telling us and inviting us to put on? Well, the gospel, the good news is that God's choice of us knows no limits. Not even his own Son was considered too much to give for the connection that each one of us requires, this love of God to experience. Reconciliation. And this is where this picture comes in. Whereas Jesus was for us that bridge to life that linked us to God who had been separated. That's a really good image, and there's so many stuff online. And you'll notice that on the left, you know, as human beings, we fall short of God's glory, of God's grace. None of us are perfect. And so that's okay. It's not about being perfect. The great thing we're recognizing is that the bridge between us and God has already occurred. Jesus came into the world so that we can have a relationship with God. A bridge. And I was looking for online, there's lots of different metaphors, and I like the idea of a bridge. You know, there's a few pictures of bridges. Now, a bridge is something that you build to cross a span, don't you? And bridges are things that are two ways. So God comes across, we go across. And I really like that as a metaphor. Again, it's like you're going to be leaving here with so many different metaphors bouncing in your brain, you won't know what to do. But the idea is that The invitation to relationship we have with God is this bridge, this two-way linking. So for us to talk about the love of God, we have to experience the love of God. For us to put on the shoes of peace and talk about peace, we have to experience that peace. And I guess another way we can talk about that is forgiveness. Now, I'm always wary of using the word forgiveness because it stirs a lot of stuff for us, doesn't it? We automatically think of those people who really have done us wrong. And you know, I don't know about you, but in my life there have been people who really have betrayed me, broken my trust. And as Christians, we find ourselves often in a really awkward space, don't we? How do we relate to these people? And I suppose there's two things for me. There's forgiveness is God's forgiveness of us, which is like the whiteboard. Looks like someone's been doodling on my whiteboard, but that's all right. But a whiteboard where we make mistakes and God's forgiveness cleans the board free. But in our relationship with each other, that can get a little bit more complex. And while God wipes away our sins, the invitation we have is to remember what it is we've made mistakes on, because we have to be honest to confess our sins so that we may be forgiven. So if we're deluded, ignore the mistakes we make, it just doesn't happen. The forgiveness we experience with God needs to be based on our honesty. Now, in our relationships with each other, I'm a real fan of people being accountable for their actions. There is no get out of jail free card with me. Okay. Now, it's like people make mistakes and I'm willing to forgive their mistakes, but I do not forget. I remember, because when a dog bites you once, you're always cautious of that dog, aren't you? And it's like we're stupid if we don't put that into play. Now, as I was driving here today, it's good because I have a bit more think time, but it's also bad because you think about all the different ways in which you can go in a sermon. So this is a really interesting point. So forgiveness for me is a life-giving thing. And it picks up this next slide, because we're trying to leave behind our old nature and discover a new creation in God. And sometimes if we don't forgive others, we become embittered and entrenched hatred. And that just destroys us. And it's very interesting that we are remembering Remembrance Day this week. 11th month. And I was listening to the radio during the week, and they were talking about how America's other great ally, Germany, you go back 70 years, and I can tell you, they weren't great allies then. Interesting how time changes. There's been a massive shift. You talk about how Australia relates to Japan. There's been a big shift. Now, we don't forget, because there are lessons we need to learn in life about, I was going to say, the stupidity of war, and maybe that's true. There are things we remember. We want to remember the sacrifice of others who have sacrificed their today for our tomorrow. There's a sense in which that's important. But for me, when we talk about this idea of peace and love and forgiveness that God invites us to put on, it's a tricky thing. It's not an easy thing. If it was easy, yeah. For me, part of the journey of faith is applying forgiveness to ourselves, to others, and sometimes even to God. Because sometimes people get angry with God. And that, again, is a different concept. So forgiveness, for me, is something that sets us free to discover things in a new way. I was trying to find a slide that might help identify what freedom is. And this is, I rewrote it because it was just, I couldn't find anything that we could see. Freedom from being controlled by the past. Freedom from the emotional ties to the offender. Freedom from the continual inner conflicts of bitterness and hatred. Freedom to become whole and enjoy the fullness of life. When we're putting on the good news shoes, I guess really they're trying to talk about fullness and hope, aren't they? It's not about despair and hatred. So somehow when we're putting on the good news shoes, it has to apply to us as much to others. And that's the power of forgiveness. It sets us free. Even though it means we remember what's happened. And the remembering is important, is not for shame. The remembering is important so that we can learn. I say to people, if you don't reflect on your life, you're going to get the same experiences on repeat. And I've seen it time and time again. I've experienced it for myself, you know. And so this journey of life we're on, the invitation to put on the good news shoes, is an invitation to apply this love to ourselves so that we can be the good news. Not simply in word, but in just who we are. There are some people we will never let near us again. There's some people, you know, their choices, their opportunities, whatever they've done, it's a fail. And so it's like, for my own safety, for my own well-being, no. And I guess we need to be smart about that. As Christians, we're not doormats. I do not want you to be a doormat as a Christian. You put on the armor to stand firm, not to roll over and have people jump on you. As a Christian, we are not passive, vulnerable individuals. We are strong and powerful. Why? Because we know where we stand. And you can throw a whole pile of crap at me, but you know what? I know where I stand. We know where we stand. Because the love of God strengthens us. Doesn't make us wobbly like jelly to fall over and people jump on. So please don't confuse my message with that. That is not how I see Christians. Now, again, feel free to send me an email. Your views on what I'm talking about. David, what a load of wonderful stuff. I'm looking forward to apply to my garden. Or whatever, I don't mind. This is part of your journey. I'm just sticking stuff out here for you to engage with, reflect in, and pick something up, maybe. And, you know, like, this is some interesting stuff that for all of us. So, choose whatever shoes. I love that image. What sort of shoes are you going to pick on? Make you ready to apply the good news. So here's a couple of little thoughts for you to chew on. How would you describe what the good news is for you? Are you able to apply this good news in your lives regularly? So again, I mean, it's lots of stuff to think on, but I'll give you a little bit of think time and then we'll continue our service. Lord Jesus, we've talked about lots of different things. I ask that your Spirit would continue to stir us and give us a connection point this week to shape our lives, to grow our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Dave.
Stand and sing together. Let the peace of God reign.
run the race of time with your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it reign. Oh, Holy Spirit, Lord, my comfort, strengthen me. And I stand upon your truth, bringing glory unto you, and let the peace of God let it reign. Oh Lord, a hundredfold more of you rise up within me, let me know. Saturate my soul and let the light of God fill me now. Let your healing power breathe light and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it reign. Your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it reign. Oh, Holy Spirit, Lord, my comfort, strengthen me, hold my head up high, and I stand upon bringing glory unto you, and let the peace of God let it reign. Oh Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me, let me know. Let the light of God fill me now. Let your healing power breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it reign. Saturate my soul and let the life of God fill me now. Let your healing power breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it reign, and let the life.
So the whole idea of the armor of God is to help you stand firm. Not wobble and fall over, though sometimes that does happen, but to stand firm. So go into this peace, into this world, knowing that God's peace goes with you. Connect with people and choose life. because to grow stronger through COVID, we have to pass on God's love, God's peace. Go and serve the Lord in whatever ways you can. Go in peace. Amen.